Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
All right, Danny Ainge. He is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are well.
Dandy. How are you, Danny?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, that's about to change. So let's look at some of the recent highlights of the Celtics. I hate having to do this, but the Pistons, as you know, a team well under 500. Sadiq Bey drops 30 on them. The Celtics lose. Wizards, a team under 500. Bradley Beal drops 35. Celtics lose by double digits. The Atlanta Hawks, another team under 500. Trae Young drops 40 on them. Celtics lose. The New Orleans Pelicans, a team under 500. Brandon Ingram hangs 33 on them. Celtics blow a 24-point lead, and the game goes down in history books as the biggest comeback in Pelicans franchise history. The Celtics lose. Dallas Mavericks, a 500 team. Luka drops 31 points on them, including two back-breaking threes in the final second. Celtics lose. And last night, the Atlanta Hawks, a team once again under 500, another game for the history books as Atlanta hits more threes against the Celtics than any other team in franchise history. Danilo Gallinari scores 38, more points than he has in over 6 years. Celtics lose. It looks as if this team's sole purpose over the last 2 weeks is to make whoever they are playing look like the greatest team in the world. They've become the Washington Generals, and every team they're playing becomes the Harlem Globetrotters. How, Danny, do you explain this?
It's hard to explain. I mean, we talked last week about, you know, the intensity level and how it's not, hasn't been there. I don't have an explanation. Our team is not playing well. We're not playing hard consistently. We have great stretches of most games, with the exception of last night. We didn't have any good stretches until, you know, the game was over with 6 minutes to go in the game, and the guys that don't get to play very much got to play. So I don't have an explanation. It's been frustrating for the players, I think, that and the coaches and all the Celtics Nation, Celtics fans everywhere. It's got to be frustrating for everybody. But I think that the notion that this is all, you know, Jalen and Jason, or our team is not any good. I think that what some people don't realize sometimes is that lack of confidence in one another, a lack of belief, lack of individual confidence in your own abilities comes and goes through the course of the season with most players, not all players, because some guys are a little bit above that. As you mature and grow and become the great ones, you know, you really don't lack confidence, even though you can still have bad games. But this long of a stretch has been frustrating. Now, having said that, I still am a believer that our team can make a run, just like Dallas has made a run and Washington recently made a run. I mean, these teams you're talking about there is more parity in the NBA, and so it's not out of the realm of possibility to lose to a team with, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, for crying out loud, on any given night.
All of those teams are under
500. I know. That's what I'm saying, but like, every team's close to 500, minus the top six or seven teams right now. Like, they're all hovering around there. And, Miami was in the finals last year. They're under 500. And, like, losing to Miami would be that would not be a slam, like, depending on which Miami you're getting. And so I just think that it's an interesting year. I wish I had answers for you. I don't. I do believe in my players. I like all of them individually. I think they have good futures. I just think that right now our team is in a major funk, and I don't know all the answers as to why. And I wish they were playing better for them and for our fans. You know, I wish that they were playing up to their potential. I don't see that they are. And I wish they'd start playing better and harder.
Well, Danny, yesterday Mike Gorman came on our show and was pissed. So pissed that he actually swore. And if you pissed off Mike Gorman, as you know, Danny, there's a problem. And he said, as good as Jalen and Jason are, they've become what he called ball stoppers. The ball movement stops, and it becomes, now this is my inference, is that it seems to become more about individual stats than it is about the team. Is that a fair assessment by Mike that Jason and Jalen have become ball stoppers?
I think that I would say it differently. I think that at times, you know, I think that it's unfair to just say that they're ball stoppers. But here's the biggest thing about Jalen and Jason is, you know, they've been shielded before because they've had other really good players and veterans around them as they've developed and gone to 3 out of 4 Eastern Conference. Now it's on them. Now they're the stars, and they got the big contracts, and they got the all-star nods. And so the microscope is on them. And, you know, like, I've been in this league a long, long time, and I think that it's unfair to think that – I think that the ball stoppage is partly their fault and the ball stoppage is partly other players' fault. I know that when I played basketball with Charles Barkley or Larry Bird, you know, these strong, dominant personalities, it wasn't like I was playing when those guys didn't play that night, and you're looking for them because they're really good players. And we run a lot of things for them, and but they want to win. Both of those guys are great competitors. They've proven that in the first 4 years of their careers, like that they want to win. And yes, they want to be all-stars, and yes, they're very young. So I think that I think it's a fair assessment that we do stop the ball and that they do stop the ball because great players like Paul Pierce and Kobe Bryant, as examples, you know, guys that these guys idolized watching growing up as young players, like, they stop the ball some too. Ball comes to them, they do their moves, they do their step back, and, you know, they take their shots. So I think it's a little bit unfair to just hold the ball stoppage on them, but I understand it, and I think that they will get better at it. I think that we need to surround them with we need more scoring off the bench. We need guys to play with more swagger and confidence that aren't subservient to Jalen and Jason, that will go out and play their game also and just let it go. Anyway, there's a lot of things going on, but I think it's part of the development and growth of young star players in our league to – as we know, from Michael Jordan getting the brunt of it when he was a young player, and LeBron even when he was a young player, Kobe, I was doing broadcasting when Kobe was a young player. So this is not out of the ordinary for young star players to get the brunt of the team's losing.
With that, and I'm sorry, John, let me just follow up on something he said there, because here's why people are frustrated right now. That's not how that team or those two guys used to play. There used to be a lot more ball movement. And if you're saying that, you know, this is part of their growth and development, okay, but we thought they had grown past this. And maybe it's the pieces that are around them, but then that's a you problem. Then that's, you know, the team that has been put around them they're not confident in making that extra pass. I mean, it's one or the other. And the reason that I think Celtics fans are so frustrated is because, you know, we're at a crucial point, as you know, with the trade deadline coming up, where people are starting to wonder, you know, how far does this team have to fall for you to decide that they may not be worth making a move for this season?
Right. No, those are good questions, and those are things that we talk about every day from, you know, the off season, during the beginning of the season, and all throughout it. But I think that those are legitimate questions that I don't have answers for right now. But I will say this is a me problem. I thought I made that pretty clear last week.
You did.
This is a me problem. And I'm saying that I love my two young guys. They're not perfect, and they're learning, and this adversity is part of their growth and development, not intentionally. It's just the nature of the beast. I think this is a very strange, strange time and year, even in the NBA. I see, you know, L.A. get blown out last night and lose a game the other night against a sub-500 team. I'm seeing Milwaukee lose five games in a row. And these are not excuses for our play. I'm not, we're playing terribly. We don't have a good enough team, in my opinion. But I'm trying to deflect some of the attention that, like, the Stars get, although that is part of, like, they have to learn to do that. Like, winning is what we are expected to do in Boston. We are expected to win, to put up championships, win playoff games, and that's what we're hoping to be able to do still this year. And you know, we'll see if we can make any changes. Like I said, I'm not looking to just do something for the sake of doing something, but I am looking to do something that can, you know, make a difference on our team.
With all of this in mind, Danny, how do you think Jalen and Jason are handling their added responsibility as the two guys on the franchise and the leaders on the floor?
I think that they're both very mature kids for their age. And I think that they're handling it well, is my opinion. I don't think they're pointing fingers.
Do you wish they were more vocal? Do you wish they got angrier?
I think they have things to say. You know, like I think this whole notion of pointing fingers and you know, embarrassing teammates in public is not our team's style. And I think that there's a lot of talking and conversation that goes on in the locker rooms and at practice. And, you know, but at the same time, I think they both hold themselves accountable. You're talking about two hardworking kids that are trying to get better. And, you know, this is a very frustrating time for them, without question.
All right. Well, let's say, Danny, because you've talked about how, you know, the part around it, you've owned it. You said it's a me problem, and you know, that's something that obviously a lot of people wouldn't say. But let's say, Danny, then you could go back to the moment that you lost to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, knowing what you know now about this year's team. What do you wish you had done different in the offseason to prevent this from happening?
Yeah. So there are a couple of things in particular, but I won't address those just because they involve people, and I'm not talking about other players and pointing fingers. It's, you know, like, I've made mistakes. There's things I wish I would have done better. And thank goodness we live in a world of basketball and there's ways to rectify it. Although usually those ways aren't overnight. They take time.
So there are opportunities that you believe you missed in the off season is what you're saying.
Yeah. There's choices that we made that could have made it a somewhat of a difference, but maybe not. You know, like, just because, you know, we have done something a little bit different and made a change, that I'm not saying that for sure would have alleviated the adversity we're facing now. I don't know the answer to that. If that's the case, you'd have every team over 500 if it was just that simple.
Well, you and I said at the beginning of this, everything that's been going on in the last couple of weeks, I mean, it really is, it's gotten to be almost kind of crazy how bad things have gotten so fast. But the last time the Celtics seemed this dysfunctional was when Kyrie was here. Now, even though the notion was dismissed at the time, after he left, we learned about just how bad it all was off the court. Is there something going on right now with this team behind the scenes that we don't know about?
No, definitely not.
There's no tuning out of the coach. There's no because, I mean, that's something that's getting more and more steam the more that this goes on.
Yeah, that's just those types of things. Even if a player was, that's just his way of coping. Our team has been – I've been amazed at how great a defensive teams our teams have been in the Brad Stevens era, as an example, with Isaiah Thomas as a point guard, with Kemba Walker as a point guard, and and Gordon Hayward as a power forward and Daniel Tice as a center, you know, we're a top three team, defensive team in the NBA. That's amazing. Okay, that is a commitment to winning. That is a team that's playing with some confidence and intensity and bringing it night in and night out. To be able to do that with being undersized. So I think that it's obviously not in our game plan, in our strategy. So when I hear players or a coach is being tuned out, that's usually from a coach that's just doing nothing but screaming and yelling. And that's definitely not the case.
Or even worse, it just becomes white noise. You know, and just it's not somebody who's connecting. And I know that, listen, I'm a fan of Brad Stevens. I've been a fan. I'm not dismissing what he has done. But even the best coaches sometimes end up running their course. I mean, even like, you know, I mean, Terry Francona is a perfect example as a manager here. Everyone loves Terry Francona. No one would ever doubt how good of a manager he is. But at the end there, it was best for both to part ways. Do you have any kind of inclination that maybe, just maybe, we might be looking at a situation similar to that?
Definitely not. I just think that, I think this is a Danny Ainge and our players' commitment issue more than anything else. I know that there's, you know, everybody is committed to some level, but I don't know anybody that's more committed to getting players prepared. And, you know, the only thing that you could possibly say about all of this, players and coaches, and is it's not uncommon in the world that we live into now. And we just got our second half schedule, by the way, and we're playing 36 games in what, 65 days or something, I thought I saw, but maybe 66 or 67 days. Anyway, it's not going to end. I think we've had one or two practices since Kemba Walker's been back. It's just different. It's just a very different year, and so we have to find a way to endure and have more resolve. You've heard me talk about resolve a lot over the years, and it doesn't seem that we have much resolve at this moment in time, and so we need to try to fix that, and sometimes that is just a lack of confidence or belief in one another, and we'll try to, you know, direct our attention toward that as much as we can.
All right. We're talking to Danny.
I'll have a chance to talk to players individually and get some individual takes on it, which I have done leading up to this road trip. And, you know, most of the players are pointing fingers at themselves. They need to get better.
All right. We're talking to Danny Ainge. Danny, Wick Rosbeck was on with Felger and Maz yesterday, and he talked about the trade exemption. By the way, your job's safe, so you should be excited about that. But he talked about the trade exemption.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, it's a vote of confidence. So there's a trade.
Your job is safe too, right?
Yeah.
It's been a long year, Danny.
They'd have to pay me for a long time if they got rid of me. But so I mean, it would be they'd have to really want to get rid of me. The trade exception, he talked about the possibility of waiting till the off season, and the reason that's interesting to me is that you were on the show last week, and you said this roster isn't, you know, a championship roster, but if you wait until the off season to make the trade, it seems to me that you're kind of conceding at that point that this isn't the year this year.
No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say is the timing is important, and we would use that trade exception if the right deal came along. But I think that what Wick is probably saying is, because we've talked about this a lot internally, is that the most likely scenario of a deal that we would want would come along in the offseason as opposed to the here and now. Doesn't mean we couldn't use portions of it at this point, but that might prevent something bigger in the offseason. So those are that's probably all the Wick was saying.
Does it bug you?
But that's my guess.
Yeah. Does it bug you when the owner, in all honesty, and it not like he, I mean, he's a good owner, and we know you like him, and he vouches for you, and he. But the thing is that how do you feel? Honestly, how do you feel about the owner coming on and talking about personnel moves and things of that nature? Because like you said, you didn't hear it, and now you're answering questions about it.
Yeah, like it doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
Like it's his team.
No, I understand.
He can come on, talk about it anytime he wants. Like,
right.
I completely trust Wick. Like Wick is, I consider him a partner with Pags and Brad, and like we discuss all personnel moves. So like I don't and Rich Gotham, like I'm not bothered by any of those talking about any of anything, and okay. I totally trust him.
All right, and finally, Danny, just because this is we've been hearing it all week, and people who contact us, and the main thing is people want to know, Danny, what are you going to personally do to help fix this? I know you've told us about some of the things that's going on with the team, but as the GM, what are you going to do to help fix this weird spot that the Celtics are in right now?
Well, listen, I understand. I have my friends and fans and not my fans, but Celtics fans that I run into on the street. Like I understand that is that's what everybody wants to know, but I don't have those answers, and it's probably not the time that is going to be answered. I mean, it's rare that trades get done closer to the deadline, but we're talking and we're trying to do some things, and we've been close a couple of times. I don't know the answer. Time will tell.
All right. So there you go. Be on the ready. Something could be coming down the pike there. And Danny, you got a few more games in the All-Star break, and we always appreciate you coming on and answering the questions. Thank you so much.
All right. You guys need to have a little more fun.
Listen. You guys need to start playing better.
Yeah. Then we'll have some fun. See, that's how it works.
Yeah. Then it can be a little more jovial.
Yeah, All-Star break.
Scal, if you want to have fun, go hang out with him.
Screw around with you over the All-Star break when you come on. We don't have to.
No, but I'm saying like I know that it's not fun for us. I know that like I'm dealing with not fun at my work, but that I call you to have fun.
No, listen, the audience.
I'm not having fun. My players aren't having fun. Our fans aren't having fun. But I call you to have fun.
Well, next time we do like a MILF subject or something, call in. Just call in. Call in during one of the fun times. And I promise you, we won't ask any basketball questions. Call in when we're screwing around. You're more than welcome. You have the hotline number. Call in whenever you want. You don't have to. Listen, comedian sits in on the show. He doesn't have to do his act. He can just hang out. Same with you. Call in during a non-basketball segment. We won't ask you anything. Just hang out and have fun.
Right.
You don't seem enthused. I mean, I was giving you a window.
That was the offer of a lifetime.
I mean, Danny, come on. I mean, a sports show has offered you a carte blanche. I mean, come on. Get with it. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for the time, Danny. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, there you go. See you, Danny.
His heart really wasn't in that last thing. I don't think.
I was trying to lighten the mood.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. Then the wrench. And the towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.